Welcome back, everybody. I have with me a fellow GalaxyCon guest. We are between shows right now, and we have kidnapped Jinx for our house, for our house guest. And I have the pleasure of having her on the podcast today. So welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited. It's, we're both crashing together, so it'll be a mutual benefit.
I know, we're both really tired. So Merkuma, aka Jinx, welcome.
Thank you.
I appreciate you spending time with me today.
Oh, it's my honor, Miss Danielle.
We just were in Orlando for Animate Orlando, and we have GalaxyCon San Jose this upcoming weekend. We have been helping with a Jinx photo shoot.
Yes, which is
for
really
tomorrow,
exciting.
Right?
Yeah, I've been honestly dying to do it for a while now, specifically because it feels like a fun play on my name. I originally was like, Jinx from Arcane was a new thing because I always got Jinx from League of Legends when I'd introduce myself. Like, oh, Jinx like League of Legends, and I'd sign and be like, no. But now it's going to be really fun when I get to photo shoot her tomorrow and then debut her at San Jose and introduce myself. And they're going to be like, it's so nice to meet you. What's your name? And I go, Jinx. And they're like, haha, no, really.
Yeah, yeah. They're going to be like, you're really committed to this cosplay.
No, for real. I swear. I promise. Look. But I really can't show it up. Can't wait to show it off enough because of how much work has been put into it from like myself, everybody else that I've commissioned. Like, it's been a whole team effort between like me and my friends and just higher ups. I'm like so excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too. Jinx as Jinx, I feel like, is poetic in a way. I'm really excited to see it come together.
Let's just hope I don't jinx myself while doing
it. Oh my goodness.
Classic. I can't jinx it. I got to knock on wood somewhere.
There's wood over there. They're taking apart the stage. Yeah. So speaking of names, your cosplay name is Merkuma.
Yes.
Can you explain how that came to be?
Absolutely. So it originally started as Meraki Cause. I really liked the meaning of it because it's like doing something with like your whole heart or soul. But Meraki Cause was something I've seen like a lot of people be using and like different like terms and stuff. I've seen it on like cafes like Meraki Cafe. And I was like, you know what? That's really cute. But I don't want to have Cause in my name. I want to have like a brand in case I ever strayed to do more things that weren't just cosplay related.
It's honestly very smart.
So I had a bunch of people come with me and I was like, I want to keep some semblance of like the word itself in it. And I had a mutual at the time like list a bunch of different mer things, and I was like, this is great, I'm
mermaid,
having so much fun.
Yeah.
So I kept continuing down that, and eventually they hit like Merkuma, and they're like, it's Japanese for bear, and I was like, that's really cute. And then immediately it connected to me, like la mer is French for sea, and I love the ocean. It's been something that's been a huge part of my life like since childhood, and bears are something that my grandmother's always been obsessed with and collected. And we're French, we come from France, so having that connection both to like my grandmother who I love and adore, and also like tying in Japanese from like the whole cosplayer like narrative and stuff I love, I was like, it's perfect. And then I had to check everything to make sure that it wasn't something that was already used or taken. And then once I found it, it just felt right. It felt like my little sea bear. And then I also kind of tied back into SpongeBob when I laughed about it because it's sea bear. Like the sea bear from SpongeBob, where you'd have to draw a circle around it so it couldn't enter. And the
whole
I could think about was like the circle icons. And I was like, nobody can get me from in here. And it's just been a joke. I've never really had somebody go up to me more than once, which was like at Katsukon, like 4 or 5 years ago, and they were like, ah, sea bear. And I was like, huh? You know both languages enough to know it. It was a very unique experience, but yeah, no.
That's really funny.
A little team effort, and it ended up being something that like means a lot to me now.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's, I mean, it's perfect for you.
Thank you. I know, me and my sea bearness.
Do you ever get people, how many people come up to you and ask you about Danganronpa? Anyone?
Nobody.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy to me because Merkuma is the bear from Danganronpa.
Merkuma, like the whole?
The like white
yeah,
and
the
black,
white black
bear. Uh-huh. That's his name.
Merkuma?
I'm pretty sure. Now I'm doubting myself, but I'm almost
I know
positive.
It definitely has something with Kuma in it because it's the bear, but now...
Hold on.
Now I'm really curious. I've never had
Maybe
one
I'm
person
wrong.
Come up to me with Danganronpa.
Now I have to Google. I have to fact check myself.
I know you're a big fan of Danganronpa, though, right?
I love Danganronpa. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I brought it up, and I was like, I assumed that that was mm-hmm. what your name was from.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And so I was like, Danganronpa. And then, Monokuma.
Monokuma.
See, I lied to you. My facts are wrong. But I was close.
You were really close. But I feel like Kuma even then, somebody else probably has thought about that at some point and mm-hmm. probably like flipped through prints at Galaxy. And it was like, something doesn't add up here. Yeah. No. That, I feel like, I know you've talked about that a lot. Maybe I do have to get invested in.
It's a pretty fun, so it's a game that is also an anime, but I like the anime more than I like the game.
Okay, noted.
I think you should watch the anime. Okay. Yeah, just in case. I'm surprised though, because it is close to Monokuma, so I was curious if that's where it came from.
It could have been a cool play on that. You know what? Maybe it will in the future. Maybe I'll switch up my story just for you.
Just for me. Mm-hmm. New origin story, new lore. So you live on the East Coast.
I do. Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming you started cosplaying mm-hmm. on the East Coast.
I did.
What was your first convention that you ever went to?
Anime Boston.
Anime Boston.
Anime Boston. I had heard about it from a friend who was originally planning to go. They were the same person who had gotten me into cosplay in the first place. Mm-hmm. And we got all excited. And I remember like us trying to figure stuff out. And one of the biggest things being is because Boston is such an expensive place to be mm-hmm. that all the hotels are already booked. So we had to book an Airbnb. And I think I had done like a femme version of Levi from Attack on Titan.
Love. Amazing.
And I just remember being in the Airbnb like 20 minutes away trying to figure out the straps for the very first time. And then walking to the convention center and through Prudential, where all of the normal people were like going around for the tourism in Boston and being like, I don't care. I'm like so excited and enthused. And everybody being like,
who is that? What are they doing?
Exactly.
Do you get like stage fright walking around in public in cosplay, or do you think it's funny, or do you not even care at all?
I think when I was younger, it was something that I probably, if I wasn't confident in the costume, I was like, I'd be shaking and I'd be like, I don't know if I'm ready to go out like this. And all of those insecurities would like fully come through in like the costume and how I displayed myself. But if I like had gotten into it and I was with friends and I was like, I feel great. It couldn't matter if anyone was looking at me. I'm like, let's go over here and let's have a blast. I want to go see this and I want to go see that. And all my friends would be like, okay, slow down. You don't need to be that crazy. So it always depended on how I felt in that said specific costume.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's a big question, but then how did you get into cosplay? Was it something that you had seen and enjoyed and wanted to participate in? Was it a friend?
It was a friend. Friend from middle school, actually. We had because I had found anime through just sheer boredom scrolling through Netflix.
No way.
And I had found Black Butler and I was like, this seems interesting. And I remember clicking on it and being like, oh, this is so cool. And then at one point overhearing some kids in my class talking about like anime, and I was like, anime? And they were like, you watch anime? And I was like, yeah, not realizing it was something that people had like looked down upon or found like nerdy or whatever. I was like, it's just something cool I found on Netflix. What do you mean? It's just a really cool thing.
I happened upon it.
And as we had talked about it and we started bonding and like hanging out more, I had found out that they were somebody who like thrifted and made their costumes, and they were like, oh, you know what cosplay is? And I was like, what's that? Tell me all about it. And they had started getting me into it, and they were on the huge crafter side. And I remember being like, oh, this is really hard, because in like 2010, trying to find a bought costume was like near impossible. So I remember going to Hot Topic and getting a dress to cosplay Undertaker from Black Butler in a wig from eBay.
Yep. And I remember those times.
And taking like random ribbon from like the Michaels craft store and doing it. And I just spiraled after that. I was like, this is phenomenal. I'm addicted. Mm-hmm. I liked this. I had so much fun. I can't wait to do it again. And now it's 12, 13 years later, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm. That is wild. Mm-hmm. Well, what started it as a career path for you or a job? Like, you started it dressing up. You've happened upon Black Butler.
Yes.
You, I'm assuming, went to conventions for fun for quite a while.
I did.
How did you get into more of like a professional
space? I started to see a lot of people when Patreon started to come out. That was something that I was like, oh, I didn't realize it's something that you could monetize and make money from. And I remember having an absolute boatload of extra photos from every photographer I worked with, because I worked with a few specific ones in my like general area from like Connecticut, and they would always be like, well, here's all the raws. And I just, they would bulk color grade everything because.
That never happens. That never happens to everyone.
It's so rare to come by, but because they weren't like cosplayer based photographer. They were just somebody who had like happened upon like Kineticon at one point, and I had run into them and like, oh, we're pretty close to each other. If you ever want to hang out and do photos. So I'll preface this by saying it was never, I didn't get skin edits. I didn't get any like cool edits. It was always just here. I applied the same color grading to all of these photos and they would just send it to me. So I'd have like 50 photos from a shoot and I'd probably post like 6 to Instagram to not like, be like, here's the whole thing, guys. Yeah, enjoy. Yeah, yeah. So when Patreon came around, I was like, oh, this is perfect. Mm-hmm. I can just use all my old content and just put it into folders. And that's exactly what I did. Mm-hmm. And I continued to do that for a really long time until like just before COVID, where I was like, ooh, now it's tough. Like I can't like reach out to these photographers and I don't want to wear a mask and costume. And it kind of just went downhill from there. And then just post COVID, when like cons were starting to pick up again, a photographer who I really looked up to reached out to me and was like, hey, you ever considered doing this like professionally? And I was like, sponsorships, like I get the emails in my inbox being like, we'll send you contacts and then you have to do a 2-minute video for free. And you're like,
yeah,
no. And I remember being like, yeah, that sounds absolutely incredible. I'm so excited. Like, what are you offering to me? And they said, well, I can send you costumes. We'll just have you take pictures and do content and you'll just tag the game. Mm-hmm. And that'll be that. Not even, I think, 2 months later from when they had messaged me, they said, hey, we have an event coming up in July. It's in it's Anime Expo. It's going to be a 4-day weekend. I'll need you to fly there and all these different things. And I was like, oh my goodness, I went to Anime Expo once and it was super expensive. You mean I get to be at a booth there? Mm-hmm. And then they hit me with the, so what's your daily rate? And I was like, I never had one before. Mm-hmm. What is that? Yeah. And it just kind of spiraled from there, where all of a sudden I got that first job that I had just gotten a message from a photographer I liked very much in my DMs. And they threw me into this event and I worked my first professional boothing experience. And then past that.
Anime Expo? That's wild. Anime Expo.
It was huge. We were still wearing masks. We were required to.
Wow.
So they had provided us with the costume. I think they had only given me like a small budget for like hotel and flight. And I was like all nervous because I was like, I still have to pay out of pocket to go to Anime Expo because it's an expensive event to go to from the East Coast. Mm-hmm. It was a huge flight cost. And I remember I was like, it's okay. It's fine. This is such a huge experience. I can't miss this for the world. Mm-hmm. And I got so sick before the event.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm.
So I remember being like, okay, the costume's done. My energy's kind of here. Mm-hmm. It's my first real time in LA getting to do touristy things. I remember being so sad because I wanted to eat everything and couldn't because I had a tummy ache.
No, not the hot girl tummy ache.
I was being so brave. Yeah, so with the mask and everything, I remember being so exhausted because it was such an influx flow coming in from Anime X because it was the first one post-COVID. Mm-hmm. So it was packed to the brim.
Oh, man.
And they wanted us to be there at like 8 a.m. sharp, mm-hmm. an hour before opening. We were like 20 minutes away, like traffic wise, and then I just made the best of friends with everybody. Mm-hmm. So after the first day and all those nerves passed, I was like, this is insane. You guys do this all the time. Mm-hmm. And all those people that I had met there had either become like really good friends of mine, have been people I've worked with again at booths in the future, have mm-hmm. helped me get jobs in the future. Like, heck, it's working those booths and getting that is how I started working at GalaxyCon. I had somebody who was like, hey, we need you to come and be a handler for this person. And I did. And past that point, it continues. Once you get your foot in the door, it kind of just kept going. And it's so incredible. I think it's been since 2022. So 3.5-4 years now of just professional work that I never would have expected. And just happened upon me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Working your first gig at Anime Expo is like mm-hmm. throwing somebody into the deep end of a pool. So it's crazy mm-hmm. that was your first gig.
It was sink or swim for real.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And mm-hmm. you had to make your own costume and bring it?
Thank goodness. That was one of the things that I had brought up to them because I was nervous. I feel like, especially now post that first experience, mm-hmm. I had been like spoiled that they had given me the costume and it was a gorgeous costume. I just remember picking it up and because they had given it to us the day of the event.
Oh my gosh.
Which has proved to be issues at like future events, because it's like, oh, if it doesn't magically fit, or if it was something somebody had won beforehand, like it can be really risky. But they had just debuted Elysian Realm for Honkai Impact 3rd. So these costumes were brand new. They were specifically made for this event under my body size and type. And it was like the equivalent of like a high craftsmanship, like hand beaded, hand painted, like gorgeous costume. And I think about it all the time. And where did it go? And why don't I still get to keep it? They didn't let us keep it.
They didn't let you keep it at the end. I mean, that's fair, but
I know. I was like, oh, if you're going to throw it away, just give it to me. It was made for me.
What's Jinx doing behind the dumpster behind the gong? I'm trying to find the costume.
Just digging through it. That would have been like the peak dumpster diving. I'm like, you guys spent that much money as a company and then you're going to throw it away. I don't think. That it did. I think they had, I knew they had sent it out to France to be reused once, and then it was gone. It's never been seen again. But Anime Expo was huge for the Sink or Swim. Lucky experience to say. I think they were definitely trying to get a lot of people who were like newer, because it was, they needed 13 cosplayers for that booth.
Wow.
And then they had Honkai Star, which hadn't debuted yet, and they had probably about 10 cosplayers for that booth. It was that, like, we have to find talented cosplayers from everything, reach wherever you possibly can so we can get those people who are quality and they'll look like the characters. I still remember this to the day. I talked to everybody at the booth and we all shook hands being like, they did such a good job casting us as these characters, because everybody had the personality of the characters that nobody had to like act.
So really?
We would just be walking around as said characters and everybody be like, that's crazy. And I was like, I don't know how to feel, because my character was like a nun.
Not a nun.
And I was like, oh God, this is so weird. And I look back on it, like, that was the coolest thing ever, to get so like closely casted to a character that now I just adore. And I even I cosplayed her afterwards as that closest. I was like, I have to do her justice again.
Yeah. I'm sure you feel some sort of attachment to the character after you do it. You work a lot of events like that, I would say. We also do a business panel a lot for GalaxyCon, where we talk about the business of cosplay and getting into it and stuff like that. And I feel like that's really like your area of expertise, is like working events with companies and brands. How you do a lot of work with Hoyaverse. What is that experience like for someone who's never done it before?
It's a whirlwind. It's very, very exciting. But as a company, it's tough, because they're so, so well off that a lot of the times they don't get the green light for a lot of these events until last minute. So you have to be like on that jump, on that gun, ready to do it. It's also an incredible experience, because they're so passionate about their game and the way that their characters are displayed and the quality in which that like people represent their characters, that they really want people to like embody them. So when I get to do it, I feel extremely complimented that they're willing to like take me on. But also, I always like tell people, like, don't feel bad if you don't get it. They're very, very nitpicky, and they're always willing to have like the content creator programs instead. These boothing experiences are so competitive because they're looking for people with experience. It's really tough to try and jump into something where it's like, hey, we're looking for like a high level experience job, and you go in and you've never done it before. It can be very, very intimidating, especially because there's so many people in that fan base that those booths are pumping 24/7. You got to be on. You got to be ready. You're in that character, in that moment. All that costume stuff has to be good. And it's a long day. it's a really long day. You're constantly working with like both the team, which because they're a Chinese company, most of the team is made up of like Chinese staff. They're so welcoming and so kind, but not speaking Chinese can really hold me back. And we've joked about this all the time with the team, where I'll be like pitching and I'll be like nodding.
Okay. I'm here and I'm ready to do it. Good job.
If there was anything important, I'm sure they will tell me in the future, but I just go in and I go with what I know, which is usually play the character, take photos. If they need me, they'll tell me. And that's always been the experience. They also really, really, really praise like getting to talk about the game on stage. I know they frequently host like events regarding it, whether it be like a gameplay event or a trivia one. So being somebody who's played the games, knowing that, like, I've worked alongside people who hadn't, mm-hmm. and I get to be that resident of, like, all right, you need a rundown of how the game is, has been, like, really rewarding for the staff, because they're like, oh, cool, we don't have to explain any of the game, even though, like, you're that perfect, like, display of the character, that's why mm-hmm. we hired you. You know our game. You know what we're talking about. This is the best thing ever. So having right. all that basis is so perfect when you jump into those.
Did you like the games before you started mm-hmm. cosplaying them, or did mm-hmm. you start playing them because you got the gig and then like fell mm-hmm. in love and kept playing them?
So that was frequently the case where okay. I would like not know anything about the game period before. And then I was like, I have to hardcore research. And it felt like a ploy, like they were getting me dug into their games uh-huh. and like sinking their claws into me being like, I know you're going to like it. Yeah, if you're not already playing it, you're going to continue to. Honkai Impact 3rd, I really dove hard into. They just released part 2 and I haven't been able to get into it, but their story writing is so absolutely phenomenal that mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting to get so emotionally involved in the game beforehand, because I had like 6 months to play that game and catch up to the point of the new release, which we were cosplaying from. Mm-hmm. So good. And I think it was like 3 or 4 of us who had actually played the game, and we were all like, oh my gosh, did you see the new release? And the staff were like, what? Like, you guys really played the game? And a few people had like been playing it for a really long time, but I was mm-hmm. like the first like newer player, and I was like, I got it because of this. But there was some versions where I was like, I had played their games and I was like, I can tell this is good. This is a lot. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get into the games. Mm-hmm. I feel like that was only like one out of like the 4 from mm-hmm. their games that I've like really gotten into. And it was strictly because I was like, this is such a time revolved game. I don't have the time to play it. Right. So if it wasn't auto running like Honkai Star Rail, like you can go in, you can be like, bink, and you hit the auto run and you're farming without having to do anything. So nice. I'd be like, okay, I build the characters. I play the story. Go farm on your own.
Right.
And I didn't have to do all the extra effort. So good. So yeah, no, they had gotten me in their trap and I fear that they'd pay me and I would put the money right back into the game.
Yeah. I mean, that's that they got their claws in you, right?
They did.
And then they pay you mm-hmm. and then you're like, thank you for the money that I'm going to put
right back into
your game. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's awesome. Yeah. I feel like mm-hmm. you have like built a mm-hmm. niche for yourself.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you do work for companies at events mm-hmm. and things like that, do you normally is it normally like a photo op for people mm-hmm. to come mm-hmm. take pictures with you, or do you walk around and promote the game on the mm-hmm. floor, or how does that normally work?
Typically, it is a photo op. They ask us usually to restrict ourselves just to the booth when we're working. Mm-hmm. If we're ever outside of the booth, we're technically not working. Mm-hmm. We can't say that we represent the game. We don't work for the game. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not a staff of Hoyover, so I'm simply mm-hmm. there as a guest. Mm-hmm. I'm a guest at their booth, just cosplaying their character. I'm not their character, anything of the sort. Mm-hmm. And it's expected that we're there specifically to bring an immersive like reality mm-hmm. for the people who come in. Mm-hmm. So they get to be excited to meet their characters, and will most often than not be expected to act like the characters and interact with the fans and that sort of thing. And in its entirety, then encourage them to play the game. Most times they'll offer like a computer or like different mobile things for them to play and experience the game if they've never experienced it before. Mm-hmm. And that general game knowledge then comes into terms, because if we have that, they really put us more towards the like, hey, we're going to have you sit for another hour or two by the games, and we're going to encourage you to talk to the game players and different mm-hmm. things about how to encourage their gameplay, what they can do better, and have fun with it. And oftentimes they'll ask us to play the game because it's a great way to show, hey, look, here's our character and like our cosplayer guest really enjoying the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And we get to use it for film content and stuff like that. I know specifically recently it's gotten really expectant of the staff and cosplayers to film like content. Before, when I had mm-hmm. first started, it was only like, okay, they'll take photos of us, they'll post it on their social media as like branding to show off the event. Mm-hmm. And in the recent like year or two, when like TikTok had taken like the really big turn to like being the main source of like video creation,
yeah,
that now when we get hired, they're like, okay, on top of the things that we've mentioned, we also need like a post a day, some video content, and they look for like the algorithms like happiness with your content creation, and we have to send that back. So we have both our in-booth responsibilities as well as like our social media and content responsibilities after the event and mm-hmm. during the event. Yeah. I know they often expect us to like post day of, like, we're going to be at this booth, etc., doing this, and like mm-hmm. show off and try and get our audience to also come and support us at the booth as mm-hmm. a way of like a draw which is really cool. They want to draw from like online presence as well as like, can you draw people in that are walking by from the booth? And like, I will do my best.
Right. So getting that email, I imagine, is scary when you first start out and you're trying to negotiate and figure out what is worth what and how much to charge and stuff like that. If somebody was just starting out, like if you were just starting out over again and you got an email like that, what would you, what tips would you give to somebody who has never had to negotiate on their behalf before? Like what is something that you think is a necessity to have to ask a company for in that situation? And what do you think is like a big red flag?
I'll start with the necessities because usually that's the best way to work your way into it, because most times when they ask for a day rate, it's always dependent on them either including or disincluding the travel, the food, hotel, stay, all those general things. And that was something I got confused with at the like my first time. I was like, oh, are you just asking like my daily rate for my work? And it depends on the company, so it's a great thing to clarify. So the first time I had talked about that, I had given a daily rate for just my work. And they were expecting that to be separated in, and including all of like the hotel for the night, the flight for the night. And it was something that I then had to try and barter for after the fact, which was really tough because they were like, oh, well, you only said like blank amount of money. So why are you asking more now? I was like, because you didn't tell me a daily rate also meant everything else. Because I was like, oh, my salary pay for the day or et cetera, like my hourly rate, that's what I expected. So really paying attention to like how they're defining the daily rate is a really good thing to pay attention to. And when you are asking of those things, asking if they are covering like the food, the hotel, if they're providing food, if they're willing to pay you upfront for the hotel and like travel fees, because sometimes they won't and they say, oh, in like 30 days we'll reimburse you for the fact, which can be really tough if you're like, okay, that's a $2,000 out of pocket event for me and you guys aren't paying me for a month to 3 months. It's a lot, so that's a really big thing to look out for. And you can always, and I try and emphasize this, you can always negotiate with the agent or the company, whoever third person is like interacting with you. Worst they can say is no, and you go, okay, cool, is this worth it for me, can I afford doing this? And then you can decide based on the fact, but you never know until you try and ask that, because usually they have a lot of money and they decide where it's going to go. As long as you ask, you have the opportunity to, for them to say yes. I also always try and recommend never work for free. If you're willing to work in the red, that is something that you have to decide whether you're like, okay, I'm not going to make enough back in the end to be like, oh, I profited from this event. But never work for free, because you're diminishing all the time and effort you're putting in. You're making it harder for you when you want to get paid in the future. And you're also making it harder for those who are asking money beside you.
For everyone else.
And it's really community-based when it comes to working at these booths, because people are vouching for you. And if you're making it harder for other people to get jobs or making it in any sort of a way, you're going to ultimately make it harder for you, which is really tough. You have to support those around you and they'll support you and get you to events and et cetera. So it's do not work for free. It's totally up to you. You can put a lower price. You can do whatever. Never zero. And never work for in-game rewards. That's a big, big thing. That's not money. That's not going to pay your bills. That's not going to do whatever. In-game rewards are not sufficient. At that point, simply look into the content creation route. That is it.
Is there a specific scenario that you would say it would be okay to work for free? Like, say you're just starting out and you want to experience it for the very first time. Do you still think you should not work for free? Or do you still
It's like, I'm following what you're saying. If it's something like guesting for a con and you're trying to build resume experience with that, I would say yes. However, when it comes to working specifically for a game or brand, they often are already hiring volunteers for free. So if they reached out to you personally to request you to be there and they're already asking for that sort of thing, you can say, maybe I'll like skimp out and say like, hey, like I'm not local, but you can pay me like I'm local and only pay for like hotel stay if it's multiple things. Like you don't have to pay for my flight, you don't have to do whatever, but I still need a daily rate. And you can choose to make that whether if you want it to be like really, really cheap in the day, but as long as you're still walking out being like, hey, I got like $50 or $100 for the day, something that I'm like, I'm walking with like something out in my pocket. Mm-hmm. It might end up being what you put towards travel, mm-hmm. but then they're still associating you with your worth pay mm-hmm. because they're just a big company. They're submitting this to whatever. They're not personally being like, I don't see you worth this amount of money. They just go, does it fit in the budget? Submits no or yes. Mm-hmm. And then you get to decide on that. But it's tough when it's like that. Cause then I would just say, if you're willing to get yourself in that door and work for free, then just start going into the content creation route and then try and switch. Mm-hmm. Cause then they're seeing you at least as a content creator and you're going in and they'll hire you to like, okay, like we'll give you those in-game rewards to make blank content and blank content. And now you're seeing the people who work these events and can talk to them about it, mm-hmm. but they're not seeing you just as somebody who's there for free.
Yeah.
So now you have differentiation between which work you're doing. Mm-hmm. And it's really important because then you're like, oh, here's all this experience I have. Mm-hmm. Would you like to hire me in the future? Now you've seen my costumes, my work, and everything I've done. Mm-hmm. This is what it's like to have me in your location working specifically for you as a cosplayer.
Yeah, yeah. And your pitch is strong.
Your pitch is very strong.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. I agree. I would say travel, hotel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A day rate.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully a per diem for food. Like what I look for in stuff like that is just that I don't have to pay money out of my own pocket.
Yeah, it's so important because most times you're like, you can at one point suddenly you're like, oh shoot, I didn't think about all this stuff. And then something mistakenly happens out of the way and you're like, oh my gosh, I've now used up all my money. I don't have any money for food. Yeah. I thought the company was going to be providing food and now I'm really hungry and everything that I had paid for out of pocket had put me in the red. Mm-hmm. What do I do? Mm-hmm. And you're in trouble and you never want to run into that situation, especially when you're under a lot of stress working nonstop, which is really good. Because then it points into like the red flags about with companies. Because if they're not feeding you, they should be. Mm-hmm. If they don't give you a place to change or rest, that's not good.
Yeah.
It's also really important that if a company doesn't disclose any information to you regarding whether like, oh, they're supplying the costume, if the costume has been reused and they're just giving you like something that's been like passed around from like the LA event, the Detroit event, the Chicago event, the Florida events that's been like going around from cosplayer to cosplayer. Mm-hmm. And now you have to, the day before, make it fit you. That can be really, really tough.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it's set on the staff because they don't know the cosplayer life. They're literally just transporting one thing from another place. So they have no thoughts regarding about how it's personally affecting the person about to wear it.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be on us as the cosplayers to ask everything possible. So if they're refraining from telling you anything or not willing to look into it or choosing to be like, oh, it's NDA based, you're like, just let me sign an NDA. You have to tell me all these things because I need to prepare all this.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's something you want to look the other way about because it's so important to know everything you possibly can about the event to prepare yourself in the best way possible. That now they're negatively choosing to like ruin their own event for whatever reason to stray away.
Right. Because the costume presenting well, looking good on you, on the cosplayer, all of that makes them look good. That makes their game look good. Mm-hmm. It makes them, if the costume isn't fitting you well or falling off of you or something like that, it doesn't create the allure that they're trying to even hire you for in the first place.
Exactly. And it's funny because it's like I've had conversations with like the staff before and watched their faces of realization of being like, oh, you're so right.
Yeah.
And I had at one point, it was like I worked New York City Comic Con and then talked to people. So then like the immediate time, because they were like, oh, we're just going to rehire you. It was perfect for like Anime New York City. And I was like, perfect. I can't wait. That was a great way to like pivot into getting another job.
Mm-hmm.
But in between, I talked to them and I was like, hey, like I had just gotten supplied a costume that had like makeup stains on it. It didn't fit and I had to completely re-alter it. Like I'm worried for the next person if it doesn't fit them. Like, what do I do? And they were like, oh, I mean, we just get a budget. If you want to just buy a costume, we'll reimburse you. And I was like, we could have been doing this from the start. Like oh I could have set you guys up for so much success.
Mm-hmm.
I was so stressed because of everything that didn't fit and I had to resize. And it was like all literally within 12 hours before the event.
Yeah.
So they just hand it to you when you get the badge. I was so nervous. And I was like, oh, well, that was easy. As soon as I got to talk to staff and they made that realization, they were like, oh yeah, it's just a bunch of people who have never interacted with cosplayers or costumes that just go, here's the first thing that looks like the thing, and they'll buy it and ship it over. That's it. Mm-hmm. So unless they really put effort in and they have a whole team that's like customizing the costumes, they're like, no, first thing they see. And I was like, that is so good to know because now I can just always recommend and be like, hey, I'll research the costume. Give me a budget. I'll fit it. I'll ship it to me and I'll do everything I need. And they're like, you're saving us work and we're getting a quality costume. Sold.
Yeah. So we just want to make you look good too.
Exactly. I'm like, it looks good on the company. It reflects good on you and me. Cause if I'm wearing a shit costume and they're not looking good, it's so bad.
Yeah. Something that is really important to me now working events is making sure that they schedule in a lunch break as well. I didn't realize how important that was until I was doing an event at New York Comic Con and I was in costume, I want to say, for like 7 or 8 hours on and off. And I had the craziest ponytail wig on that was so heavy. And if I hadn't had breaks like in between to take it off, I think I would have pulled all of my hair out of the front of my head.
Yes. Oh God. No.
It was like a bubble braid with a bunch of styrofoam balls in it. And we were doing like 30 minutes on, 30 minutes off. And then we had like a whole lunch break. But
that's good.
Even like it was like my scalp would be so grateful for the 30 minutes. But even having the lunch break scheduled to where I could take it off and actually let it like rest, like it was really important.
So make or break. I've even had moments where I've talked to companies and they've sent me a schedule like a week before an event and I go, no, because it'll be like a 10-hour day and they'll put like an hour and an hour and an hour. And I'm like, I can't change out of this costume. So essentially I'm working 10 hours nonstop, and I've got no moments to take this off and truly rest. And I'd hit them with the, hey, I'd rather work 4 hours straight, take an hour lunch break, and then do whatever like lingering hours you need me to do, and then you section off to another cosplayer. And they were like, really? And I was like, yes, because then I can take it fully off at the end of the day.
Done.
And like fully relax. And it was like life-changing the moment that I was able to do that, because then I'd have like the hour lunch break where I could fully just decompress, eat, recharge, no longer be hangry, you know, from those like wig migraines, as you say. It's so
The cosplay disassociation goes crazy.
And when you're like interacting with people nonstop and you're like, yes, it's just like, it's so bad. So I was like, it's so important to just like bring that up, because it's like, they're like, oh yeah, they have your best interest, but they don't realize how preferential it can be, especially depending on the costume. Like if I was in flats and a comfortable dress all day, I'd be like, yeah, that's fine. I'll go walk around like Artist Alley or Exhibitors. But if I'm in heels on the carpet plush that they usually provide at booths and like my heels are sinking in, my back hurts. So dependent on that. It's crazy.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes.
So you were reached out to via DM.
Yes.
And you have been doing events ever since. How did you start guessing at GalaxyCon, and what is that experience like?
So I started guesting because somebody I was really close with at the time, they needed specifically for judge work. And they were worried. They were like, hey, I'm not quite sure that I can do this on my own. It's my first time guesting as well. Would you be able to come along and just help for like when I'm not at the booth, just being there? And in general, you'll get like badge and everything paid for. Like you just have to be there. And I was like, yeah, I mean, absolutely. It was somebody who had recommended us, like, because we were all working under the same, like, cosplayer company. And I was like, it seems right. Absolutely. Like, I'm close with you. I don't mind doing this. So I worked that first event. I didn't bring anything with me, although they kept encouraging me to bring stuff. They were like, bring your cosplay. So while you're there, that, like, you could also, like, maybe get an in. And I was like, that's not my place. It's your time to shine. I'm very happy to be here and support you. Plus,
very kind of you.
I just meant it as like the basic human decency of like, I'm there to help you. And if I have to get up 3 hours earlier than you and then try and help you get into costume while I'm also in costume, it's really hard to like support you while I'm also in costume. And I'm also going to be like disassociating into that cosplay realm of I'm exhausted versus I have full energy. At any point when you're tired, I'm there for you. I'm in normal outfits and no makeup and just cruising. And I was, and the person who had invited, like, I guess like the essential of two of us was like, also on the same route of like, why didn't you bring anything? And they had then provided me with a costume during that weekend. And they're like, so you're wearing this tomorrow. And I was like, cool. You guys have bullied me enough. I'll do it. And I had interacted with the CEO and he was like, so you cosplay? Why aren't you boothing here with us? And I was like, that's really sweet. I don't know. I'm just here as a handler. Like, I have no intentions of doing that. And he had given me like that side eye of like, all right, sure. And by the end of the weekend, and I was like being out of costume, they had like an end event thing where they were like, okay, congratulations. Like, this is like our celebration for a good event. Like, well done. It's over. Let's mm-hmm. celebrate and have fun. I remember being like super tired in the hotel room and him coming over to me again and being like, so we have these events coming up in the future. Would you ever be interested? And I was like, I mean, yeah, absolutely. But I was like, I would want to come with them. They started this and kind of like rebrought in like the person that I was boothing with. And I think it had started with us sharing a booth.
Mm.
So we would then have a singular booth for the both of us.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have both of our banners,
mm-hmm.
both of our print books. And we were both trying our hardest to then like learn from all of the other boothers and guests and be like, so what do we do?
Uh-huh.
How do we like get into this? And I was still like just a handler, but like in costume.
Okay.
And I felt incredible because now I was like technically a guest. I was on like the guest page and had everything. But I remember like that first event, somebody flipping through my book and being like, you don't have a lot of variety, do you?
Really? Oh my yeah. God. People say the most out-of-pocket things at cons sometimes.
And wow. I was like, you're right. You're right. You didn't have to say it out loud. And I remember wow. having to like explain. I was like, yeah, I mean, you have to get print rights to the photos and that's really expensive.
Mm.
And mm-hmm. at the time I had just a few photo shoots that were quality enough to print to like poster scale. And like people who are willing to be like, yeah, you can print my photos for free. And I was like, thank goodness, because I'm not making any monetary income from this yet. Like mm-hmm. I haven't made a name for myself. It's usually just people who pass by and go, that photo looks really cool. I'm mm-hmm. like a whim. And I was like, yes, this is so cool.
Yeah.
And after like growing and then getting to get all those like prints and build up and stuff like this, like now I have my own booth and now I'm paneling, now I'm judging. It feels so surreal because at that point when I had started, I was like, I'm not worthy. Although like I had that experience from like working like game booths, it felt nothing like being there as myself
mm-hmm.
because it's like, oh, people, like I'm here as me. Like I have to represent me and see why I'm so cool and why I'm worth standing up. Especially because so many people stop by the booth and they're like, in the nicest way possible, and I'm saying it as the most like short and condensed version, is like, well, why are you here? Like, how did you get here?
Uh-huh.
Like, what makes you like, uh-huh. you being like, I'm prefacing this as like a short and condensed thing because uh-huh. people want to do it themselves. And yeah, when I'm yeah, sitting yeah. there and they're mm-hmm. talking and you're like, well, you see, mm-hmm. on the whim of networking is huge.
Yeah, I was, yeah. That is what I was going to bring up next. Mm-hmm. Like, networking is like... Mm-hmm. the way that you
exactly
a lot of people if mm-hmm. not everybody gets their foot in the door.
Yeah, so like when we did our like her panel very recently, that was one of our biggest things. We're like, you have to be nice.
Yes,
you can't. And when you're trying to be fake nice or you're just trying to be nice to get in, like we're talking like, no, be a genuinely nice human being, mm-hmm. get to know people, hang out with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's really like the, hey Paula, how are the kids? Like you genuinely have to get to know people, and that yeah. rewards in such like extensive effort because people are like, oh, mm-hmm. this person's genuine, they're so nice, I really enjoy spending time with them. And that's mm-hmm. huge because if you're working these guesting events, you're spending a lot of time with these people, like mm-hmm. nonstop, and they rely on you to do their job well, and you rely on them to do your job well.
Right.
It has to be mutually beneficial. So I always tell them, like, go to these events, talk to people, go to panels, do panels, hang out with people, make friends, interact with everybody you possibly can in the community, because you're always one step away from somebody
mm-hmm.
who could help you get an in. And at one mm-hmm. point, you walk into the right person, they're like, oh my gosh, I'm really stressed. We've been looking for more cosplayers for our next event, it's like newer in this area, and you're like, I'm free.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to like pitch yourself, and that opportunity will come before you know it, as long as you're like, hey, and people will even reach out to you and be like, hey, I really trust you and I really feel like you do good at this.
Mm-hmm.
Can I pitch you for this event? And I go, yeah, I had somebody do that for me for San Diego Comic-Con. I had no idea they had ins with like third-party people looking for games, and I was like, I've met you once. And they're like, yeah, but I know you do this stuff professionally and I don't know many people who do. So is it okay if I pitch you? And I was like, please,
mm-hmm.
please.
Yeah.
It's incredible what just being a real and honest and genuine person gets you. And
right.
people don't expect that because they think, oh, it's like, well, I have to have like 10 million followers and I have to be like rich and doing a new costume like every week and keeping up with the trends. And I'm like,
yeah,
I get it. That's definitely how everything perceives it. doesn't have to be that way. Mm-hmm. A lot of things can be really contradictory, and there's always another way to get yourself through a door.
Right.
If there's not that door, there's another one, and you will eventually find your way back in.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's crazy.
And it's very important, just to piggyback on that, mm-hmm. to be professional yeah. and to be on time and to be kind and
respectful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you never know. I did a job with Intel a long, long, long time ago. Mm-hmm. And the social media person of DreamHack remembered my costume
mm-hmm.
and because they were taking pictures of it.
Yeah.
And now works for a different company. But like recently, Morgan and I both got mm-hmm. emails from the person doing social media who is now doing social media for a different company that had a game coming out that Whoa. Reached out to us because mm-hmm. they remembered us
yeah.
from that event. And
that's all it takes.
We weren't assholes. You know what I mean? So,
oh my God, you guys are so incredible. I really enjoyed spending time with you. Please come back.
Yeah. It's like, it really is that easy. But mm-hmm. yeah, I think that is one of the most important things in this yeah. industry specifically. Because mm-hmm. People will remember you.
They do.
In a good way and a bad way.
In the bad way. And I've also emphasized to people that, yes, a lot of the people you interact with are big and they're cool. If you're really, and it's, I feel like the only way to describe it is like disingenuous and fake.
Yeah.
Like, we've been doing this for a really long time. Like I said, I've been doing this for 12 years. It's so easy for anyone in the like corporate world for cosplay to sniff out when somebody's genuinely just trying to talk to them to try and pitch themselves.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we're all pitching in our own way. We all know networking. Talk to them as a human being first rather than a company, and it'll get you so much farther because that's who we are at the end of the day is mm-hmm. just people.
Mm-hmm.
And if we like you as a person, we'll like you as a company.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As long as you can represent yourself well, that's all you really need to pitch, and then it'll open the door for you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're like, hi, it's nice to meet you. What opportunities do you have for me? You're immediately grabbing at things that they haven't even offered. And it just it gets greedy and people are tired of that. And it immediately puts you on a bad vibe with that person.
Right.
It's never fun when people are like, well, what can you do for me? And you're like, do I want to do things for you? Like, when did I have to owe you something?
Right, 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 right. Mm-hmm. This transactional relationship I did not agree to.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Well, what are some of the things that you've learned boothing at conventions? Mm-hmm. And again, like, we started recently doing, like, tips and stuff mm-hmm. on the podcast. And I really like it. So mm-hmm. is there like a list of things that you would recommend to somebody new to mm-hmm. boothing at cons?
Yes. When it comes to boothing, I remember when I first started, somebody warned me not to create like the introvert coverings. When people put all those boxes like an artist alley where you see all the posters and they're covering and then there's this tiny little box that you can see through and it's the artist where you can make transactions.
Because mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
we're cosplayers. We're a face mm-hmm. and we're expected to interact with people. So if we're hiding behind our little introvert box thing, it makes us really hard to sell ourselves as a person.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Especially if you don't have things to cover all those. Like hiding yourself behind the booth only affects you and Lacan negatively because they're like, well, where are they?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That, having a tablecloth, more important than you realize because they
so
don't.
So true, queen. So true. The tablecloth.
Yeah, they never provide them. Even if you just get, because I just have like a black one from Amazon, or you can get one that's really cool and branded. I know you have one that mm-hmm. has like your brand and your name all across the front, which is really cool. Having something to vertically display your work.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really hard for people to, when they're walking by and looking back and forth between the aisles, to see something if it's laying flat on a table.
Right.
I know you and Morgan always have like the sky high poster things where you hang them behind your banner.
Mm-hmm.
Even if at any con you happen to have like a wall behind you, just sticking them to that surface. I stick mine behind my banner and I let them drape down because GalaxyCon in specific always has these like curtains behind.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it really easy. But most cons, if you don't have that, even putting, I forget what those are called. Like they're like the little arch things that you can like put up support. They like hold your picture. They almost like look like frames, but they're not. But there's those, you can tape them to those like Amazon bins that like the shoe stack ones. So on the front, I've done that with my menu before. So that like the first things that they see is like pricing. So if they're like, oh yeah, cool. Like I don't have to like go up and ask and feel uncomfortable about being like, well, these are pretty, but can I afford them?
Yeah, yeah. Having a price list displayed. Yeah.
So price lists are really important so that they're not forced to ask you about that. Having a deal or an offer. Something like the buy two, get one free deal, which like you see, I always seen because I always take advantage of it at Artist Alley. It's the buy two large prints, get one free. Having that, or like if you spend $50 or more, you get this for free. Having that sort of thing. In addition, offering yourself like I have a small print book. Making it so it's like it's not the option to buy one, but you can buy three. Because smaller prints are usually really like affordable and like disposable to print for our, like us as like people who sell like monetary for profit. Like it's like 25 cents for a 5x7. So if you're selling them like for $5 for one, like you're making a decent income, but there's a lot of small prints. If you're bringing them to cons, you want to make more. So instead of doing like 5 for 1, just force them into like a, hey, like 5 for 15 or like, or 5 for 15, like that's probably a great deal. You can do like 10 for 30. And then you have like people who are like, this is really cool. And they're looking at a lot more of your stuff because they're getting a deal. And they're also seeing you and your work to a greater extent versus being like, well, this is the first one I saw. This is all I want to walk away with. And you're like, no, you can get more. It's the same price. Like, I promise you. It works out in your favor because a lot of people, like when I go to a booth, I like to get the best bang for my buck. As much as I want to support people, it's really tough to be like, oh, well, I one thing. You're like, wait, I can get three for the price that I expected for one? Absolutely. Like, I can't wait to support you. And then you get to do all that and keep looking through. And you're like, oh, well, I like this one better. And that one, you're like, oh, well, you don't have to choose. You can take them all. So I've recommended that and standing. If your booth is short, standing behind your booth to talk to people. You can always sit, you can always relax at one point, but taking the opportunity to be eye level with people feels a lot more welcoming and approachable than if you were to like sit and be on your phone or talking to that. I've always had like the, oh, like when, because sometimes you're alone behind your booth. I'm frequently alone behind my booth. I'll try and like comment on people's really cool stuff because it's so cool to see people walking around, whether it be like their costumes or like the cool shirts that they have, or maybe they have a really cool print. And that's been a few ways that it's helped me make sales, because then people come in and we can chat and they might not have been originally looking around specifically at my stuff, but they love cosplayers and their work. And now while we're talking, they're seeing my work and they're seeing that kind of stuff. And even if they don't buy something, now I have a really cool connection that I made at a convention.
Right.
Like, it's a mutually beneficial thing. And now they realize that cosplayers aren't as intimidating. I've also had that conversation recently when we went to Orlando. I had a few people come up to my booth and they were like, you're actually really chill. Like, I always expect that it's going to be like the cosplayers here who are the guests who are going to be like the, I tell them like, oh my God, your costume is beautiful. And they're like, thanks. And like, move on. I'm like, oh, well, we're paid to be here and encourage and like bring a welcoming environment.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
We're here to make this a better experience like for everyone here at the con.
Right.
Like that affects the con in general. I'm like, I can't say that it's never going to happen at one point because maybe it will, but you never know and take it shouldn't.
Yeah.
You should take like advantage of the people around. And I was like, if they're being negative, that's an entirely different and concerning thing. But
yeah.
Never be afraid to be the person who starts that conversation, because they might be coming in with like negative biases that you didn't realize that they had, and you can change that for them. So just talk to people, create a way to display yourself. So for the introverts who might like myself, who are like trying to see if it's like you have a similar style to what they like to buy, they can see that without having to feel like they're obligated to come over to your booth and have to flip through stuff. You can draw in as more people, like as many people as you possibly can, just by like pitching yourself and making yourself visible. I think that's the best possible thing that you can do as a tip for somebody who's boothing for a car.
Yeah. Is there a favorite event or panel that you like to do? Would you say?
Honestly, my company's one is probably grown to be one of my favorites.
Really?
It was the first one I did. I remember being super nervous because I was co-hosting that one and it wasn't my panel to start. I had like simply jumped on because they had pitched it for a time. They're like, oh, well, you've done it together at one point, so obviously you both have the same thing. And it was all under their own presentation and I had no access to it. So all of a sudden I was like, oh, and they were like, here, just have the panel and you can like just do it. And I was like, well, it's all pictures of you. Like, I'm going to be talking about everything that you've presented for yourself and pitch. I remember walking in and being super nervous, and then I was like, I closed the laptop and I closed my phone and I was like, we're going to freeball this.
Yeah.
And after I had had that first experience and I had like sweat through the nerves, and I remember going back to my booth being sweaty because I was so anxious.
I get sweaty sometimes for panels. Like sometimes the public speaking.
Mm-hmm. It gets to you. It really does. Before you know, you're like, I got this. And you're like, yeah, my body didn't think I did.
Yeah. Sometimes I go to a panel and I'm like, I am the most knowledgeable human to ever exist. And then sometimes I go to a panel and I'm like, actually, I know nothing about anything. No one should ever listen to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, I can't let the people know that I don't know anything.
Yeah.
Like, technically, they wouldn't have put me on this panel if I didn't know anything.
Right.
And you have to like bolster yourself up. Mm-hmm. And after that first one, I was like, oh, okay, I can do it. And of course, the next time, they then purposefully put me alone. And I was like, it's okay. I got this. I got this. And I was like, if I tell myself I don't got this, then I'm going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
And I killed it. And yay! I was so thrilled because people kept coming in while I was talking about it. And I remember my mouth being super dry by the end of it because for 60 minutes, I talked. And I was the only person talking because I was like deadpan, stare. Throwing everything at you face value, and I'd be like, okay, I know I'm talking really fast because I have to get a lot of information at you as best as I possibly can within an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Raise your hand or stop me if you have a question, and I can bounce off of that and go from there.
Mm-hmm.
And I went ham. So when I had first done that, like cosplaying with companies one, because it was just what it started off with being, and it would just be like going strictly from like the games versus boothing and how you can decide between that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, all right, this is my experience. This is how I got into this. Any questions? No. Boom. And I would go straight into it and just be like, well, this is how I got in. This is the experience I've learned, the tips that I would give you if you wanted to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Anything I recommend you doing it if you're already into it and wanting to do more. And I just went full send. And I got so proud of myself for actually doing that. And then people post coming up to me and being like, that was a really good panel.
Yay. And I was like, that's my favorite compliment I get at conventions is about my panels. I'm like, you like what I have to say.
Yes.
So nice.
My words had meaning to you and you sat through and you genuinely digested everything I had to say and found it valuable.
Yeah.
Thanks. That's
wow. Really, you really like me.
Yeah. And then I had, I remember somebody who I had just passed going into the room and I was like, oh, are you coming in? And they had actually been like, yeah, you know what? Sure. And they had sat down afterwards and been somebody who frequently is like part of the GalaxyCon staff and company and like the cosmic running things. And they were like, that was incredible. You were so down to earth and realistic, but also so educational.
Nice.
If I ever wanted to reach out to you for an opportunity, and I was like, this is the best day ever.
Yeah.
I want to do panels more. And ever since, I was like, I felt so confident about talking that I was like, I can do this. The person who in like all of my like school days would be like the shaking in my boots, drenched in sweat, skunk reflexes to the max where my body odor and anxiety was reflecting exactly how I felt because I was about to speak or do a speech that was a minute long for school and I had the script to being somebody who talked for an hour straight, teaching them about my experiences and like everything I've learned from working in the cosplay world.
Off the cuff.
So crazy. Off the cuff.
Yeah.
No panel. Or like no panel. No presentation.
Yeah,
nothing. I had no words in front of me. No script. I just went, hey.
And that was about the business of like getting into it and stuff. That's awesome.
Isn't it? Isn't it really cool? So although it was something that I'd be like, there's been so many fun panels I've worked. That one to me holds a special place because I'm like, now I'm like, I'm confident. I could walk into that panel and be like, yeah. And that has made me for every other panel I've done being like, I could go in there and talk about, as long as I'm confident, I got this.
Good.
Because it's like, I know this stuff. I know it.
Yeah. And you've proven it.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yep.
So congrats.
Thank you.
Was there any like horrible experiences or like any like negative experiences that you had while you were either guesting or like doing an event or something like that you had to like panic fix or anything?
Well, I've had moments where, of course, we get like people who are parasocial who come to the booth. And as incredible as it is interacting with people, sometimes you have a moment of like, oh, I don't know how to escape this. Because it feels like the people who like come down to sit and like chat with you who have, I guess, more negative things to say, know that there's really nowhere for you to escape to. Unless you have somebody where it's like, okay, well, I gotta go. I have a panel. And then they could follow you. But I had somebody who had come to my booth and started mansplaining how to brush wigs and style wigs
and
how to take photos and what I could be doing better and what I should, like, what's wrong about everything I was doing. And I remember just being, like, sweating and anxious and mad.
They were just there
to,
like, shit on you.
And just slam me down. And I was like, I've never met you before. You never met me before. Why am I the target of your affairs right now?
So how do you handle that type of situation?
I've begun to rely on the other guests that have been around me. And additionally, growing a backbone, which has been really, really hard.
It's hard for me too.
It's so hard because it's like, I know there's probably a reason why you're doing this. And it's not personally reflecting me. It's just something that you just found me and I would just happen to be the right person the wrong time.
Yeah.
And we've, like, found ways to just kind of be like, hey, if I see that you're uncomfortable or you're in a place that I can, like, jump in and make it so you're not alone in this situation. And we've been able to, like, mutually benefit from that kind of situation, which is really nice because you're like, oh, I can't ask people for help. It's not just on me alone to do all these different things and know what to do in these situations. And that helps me a lot. In addition to just now realizing that, like, you can tell people that, hey, you're being extremely inappropriate and rude. And unfortunately, unless you have a nicer thing to say or something that is going to help my business and the fact that I am here to be selling prints and doing things, then I hope you have a great rest of your con and I wish the best for you. Unfortunately, I cannot no longer host you in front of my booth.
Yeah. Respectfully.
Leave. I need you to get out.
Right.
So I've had a few of those. I've also had people who just generally, like, overstay their welcome and you're like, it's just a social battery thing where I shut down. It has nothing to do with, like, the people there. And it's just like, oh my God, this was a really great conversation for really long. But it's really long. I'm really tired. And I've been in this costume for 8 hours
now. That's when you start to realize how tight your wig is and how long your contacts have been in for.
And it becomes a panic internally where you're like, okay, no prints have been bought. So I can't be like this. And I don't want to be rude and be like, well, you've been here for a really long time. And unfortunately, when you're here, somebody feels like that they can't look through prints because you're standing in front of the whole table. And I've been really enjoying this conversation. My social battery is now depleted to like 5% and I have 5% for the rest of this event. And I'm not quite sure how to ask you to leave without being mean because I'd like you to come back. And it's like having to find those words of being like, it has been so nice talking to you. I really hope to see you at, like, another day. I have to try and make sales. So if you don't mind, I'm going to try and draw more people in. At any point, you can come back and we can say hello again. And then trying to do that. But that was such a hard thing to do. And I remember trying to ask, like, all the other booths. I'm like, how do you do it? Like, when your social battery is gone, because this is entirely a socially based, like, thing. What do you do? And I've had people who just go, I just go silent and see when they stop talking. And
oh, I'm my, like, gosh.
I don't think I can do that because I don't. No, I can't do that. That's horrible. I've had, like, the general recommendations of, like, oh, well, I just, like, let them know, like, I'm really hungry and it's gotten to the point where I need to go and get food before I pass out. And they're like, it's hit or miss where the people just offer me their food and then I have to deny it because it's, I'm not taking a stranger's food.
Right.
Or just, like, other alternatives. And it's been nice. Sometimes you're in the moment, you're like, I don't know what to do and my thoughts are just gone. And sometimes even just saying that to people, because it's been those moments where all of a sudden they can see my just, and then I'm like, I'm sorry. It's reached the point of the day where my head really hurts.
I'm
really tired.
I love being honest. I found that is what works best for me.
It has. I was about to say, I get it.
I actually think that it's time to, like, go take a lunch. So
And
I'd love for you to come back later.
So understanding about that. And I've had to find that, like, perfect balance of, like, well, what's good? Because I've randomly had people where I'm like, I need that break. And then they're still there the whole time when I get back. And then I'm like, oh, now I feel bad. And now I feel really obligated to just jump back in with more energy. But it just kind of gave me, like, a little bump. But most times it has been the best option is just being like, hey, I'm crashing right now. My caffeine is worn off. My social battery is dying. And everybody just goes, real.
Real.
I get it. Like, I understand. And I'm so grateful for the people who do.
Right.
Because it's usually cosplayers or people who frequently, like, understand, like, the convention feel and exhaustion. And it's so nice when people are like, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God. I feel a tiny bit rejuvenated by you understanding the situation.
Yeah, yeah. And conventions are full of people who are looking for that connection because of these are our hobbies that were scrutinized and now we're among friends. So I agree. I find that just connecting in any way, being honest is usually the way that the way to navigate those situations as well.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate you coming and talking to me and sprinkling your knowledge of events and guesting and things like that and sharing your stories.
My pleasure. It's been such an honor.
Thank you so much.
And I am really grateful you offered me this opportunity. So thank you.
Yeah. I'm so glad, especially because I know you have a shoot tomorrow. Yeah. I'm looking forward to those photos.
Thank you.
Jinx as Jinx coming soon. Also, this will, I believe, come out on Friday while we're at GalaxyCon San Jose. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you are looking forward to that you'd like to promote or announce or anything you'd like to talk about? And what are your socials for anyone who would like to find you online?
So I did recently just start streaming. I started doing VTubing and I've connected both cosplay and that, which is really incredible. So I'm Phantom of Jinx on Twitch. I'm currently only streaming there and I'll probably come back in September after we're done like these back-to-back cons. On Instagram and Twitter, I'm Rakuma. And I think those are my main socials. I did start on Red Note, which is really fun. But yeah, those are mine. And I really hope that I get the opportunity to hang out again. It'd be really fun.
Great. Well, VTubing, I'm really excited. Streaming and definitely more conventions in the future, I'm sure.
So many. Yeah. Eventually, we'll figure it out. It's one of those, when I get there, I get there.
Right,
so
right,
I'll be
right.
happy to announce them when they happen. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I have a very important question for you. And I am not like the biggest anime connoisseur, if you will. So this question was written by someone who researches for the podcast. And I appreciate them a lot for this, especially for making me say this out loud. Thank you.
Yeah.
imagine.
Oh, yes.
Truck-kun sends you into an isekai. Which game would you rather wake up in? Honkai Star Rail, Genshin, or Zenless Zone Zero?